passing by in time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one lives gun, trees, lie to your face. Social slime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See your shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on, UCY.TV. And it is September the 20th, 2016. Now, they're coming at us hard and they're coming at us quick. And the latest conference in the UN in New York, you know, and you got to understand that there's a reason that the planes didn't hit the UN buildings. If they had hit the UN buildings, it would have been a patriotic move, as far as I'm concerned. The United Nations, land donated by the Rockefellers, has been working diligently to take us down since its inception. And I don't know how it is that the United Nations building has been allowed to operate in America for this long. The United Nations' job is the destruction of nation states, and there it sits, and supposedly sits on the land, supposedly the beacon of freedom for the rest of the world. And there it sits, with a revolver tied in a knot. And I don't know, what is it, the Second Amendment? That you have the right to bear arms, and here you have a United Nations building that wants to destroy nation states and build a world government that cannot exist as long as Christianity remains. And this is the whole point of our founding fathers, was to get away from the tyranny that was in Europe, and to come and make a fresh start in the new lands. Unfortunately, the deceivers followed them and deceived the people. And we once again find ourselves ruled by despots, living in tyranny, or ruled by tyrannical governments. And the whole plan is being driven through the UN. And yet there it sits on American soil. My attitude to that building is vacate everybody out of it. Just get them out. Walk in there and arrest them, because there isn't a one man or woman that work in that United Nations building that is not guilty of treason. And take that big building or buildings and turn it into apartments for the men and women who went to fight in the false wars, who now come back to their homeland, the one they thought they had left to fight, to protect, aren't getting proper medical treatment. Too many of them don't have decent housing. And there we have the UN headquarters, where these wars get stewed up at. And these people that work at the UN, I'm sure, all have nice homes and apartments. And they're the ones that are trying to take the nation down. And here you have the veterans who thought they were going to protect the nation being treated like dirt. And that has to stop. Make no mistake about it, people. We are at war. This is the Third World War. This is a spiritual, psychological war. And people better get with that program and understand that you are at war. And the enemy is inside the gates. And Cicero said it very good in 42 BC. That's quite a while ago. He warned us. Very plainly, very in your face. But the enemy is inside the gates. And we got to come, we got to deal with that. Let the politics go. Okay, the politics is nothing more than window dressing. Is designed to keep the people divided and has done a very good job of it. And people have to come to the realization what these politics are all about. Both parties, both sides, right, left, no matter where you live, you'll always find a major right party and a left party. Doesn't matter where you go. Specifically designed to keep the people divided. Excuse me. So now up here in Canada, we have Tinkerbell Trudeau, who is, I mean, here's a classic example of the UN, which was supposedly set up so that there would never be a war again. Because if someone got aggressive, the idea was that all of the nations would come together and stomp out the aggression ASAP. Has never happened. That was why they told you the United Nations was formed. So that peace would be upon us. We've had nothing but continual wars. So then they change it, they still say they're there about peace, but now they're the humanitarian arm. Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to get your people together, all these nations, and if someone got aggressive, they were supposed to stamp it out. So that we don't have these aggressions. Now, all the nations are member states of the United Nations, so how could we possibly have all these wars? were having the wars in order to move the UN and their buddies world government forward. We also have the idea of spreading democracy. Well, the last thing you want is democracy, because if you look at democracy, you see nothing but trouble. So the UN now is the agency who comes in to help those who've had the snot bombed out of them, even though they were the ones, all of the nations together would make sure that these wars wouldn't break out. So obviously, that's a big lie. So we need to get as far away from the United Nations as we possibly can. Now, while we signed on, we have the authority to sign off. And we better get signing off of this quick. Any country that has a leader who is not doing something to get our nations away from the United Nations, whose job is to destroy nations, obviously is guilty of breach of trust, which is treason. And that's what it is. We're being played as fools. Now, here's a typical example of how this operates. Here's a headline on the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, known as CBC News here in Canada. Grim news casts shadow over UN refugee conference attended by Tinkerbell Trudeau. It says here, word of renewed bombing in Syria comes as PM Trudeau announces more humanitarian aid. Well, obviously. So you go and you bomb the snot out of these people again to facilitate what they want to accomplish. What they want to accomplish is they want to take our nations down. What do they need? They need more migrants. They need reason to bring more migrants in here. How are we going to get more reason? Well, we bomb the snot out of them again. Just happens to be going on while they're having the UN conference. Jeez. Coincidence? Not bloody likely. Anyways, the grim shadow of world events descended over a UN conference on refugees on Monday as Prime Minister Tinkerbell Trudeau and other world leaders gathered to make new commitments to victims of a historic migration crisis. Now, why do we have a migration crisis? Well, because you bombed the snot out of them in order to do what? Create a migration crisis. So these people that are telling you that we need to allow these migrants in because their country was bombed to smithereens, the media doesn't tell you that they were bombed to smithereens in order to create a migrant crisis. Now, every single media outlet on the planet ought to be sued, because they know exactly what's going on, because they're all part of the United Nations, and they all do the bidding of. Anyways, where's this story goes? News crept in from nearby and abroad to underscore the oft-stated point at the summit that work on refugees remains a task in progress. As the Prime Minister spoke, word filtered out about a bombing ending Syria's ceasefire, right on cue. While the war made new victims, the debate closer to the New York conference revolved around whether to show them any hospitality. A series of attempted bombings in the city added new fuel to a combustible U.S. election debate on Muslim migration. Tinkerbell Trudeau got applause from delegates to the United Nations conference when he mentioned Canada's acceptance of almost 31,000 refugees. A CNN anchor moderating another event quoted Tinkerbell Trudeau welcoming refugees at the airport. He didn't let the applause linger long. Now, Tinkerbell likes to do selfies. Pride parades. He can't get enough of that crap. Tinkerbell is a feminist. Tinkerbell claimed to fame as he was a snowboard instructor. But Tinkerbell's real claim to fame comes from his daddy, Pierre. Now, Pierre was a lawyer, which makes him a liar. Pierre was Jesuit trained. Pierre was extremely close to Maurice Strong and the Rockefeller clan. Pierre, before he became the prime minister, spent time wandering the Middle East and Africa during his training program. And that's all that was, to train him to be a UN mouthpiece. And he had a son called Tinkerbell. I'm sure his real name's Tinkerbell. They call him Justin Trudeau, but I do believe his real name's Tinkerbell. So his name is Justin, like in Justine, like in Justice. And this guy was groomed from a young age for the position he now holds. He's a complete airhead. That's why we call him Tinkerbell. Not a leader, he's a puppet. So anyways, we'll continue with this a little bit. There's a big headline here, must not stop at resettlement. Well, that is a great story. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Canada's engagement must not stop at resettlement, Tinkerbell said. Now is the time for each of us to consider what more we can contribute. So in Canada, we're looking at our options. He announced Canada would spend an additional $64.5 million over the next several years to support people affected by humanitarian crises around the world and increase its foreign aid budget by 10% to help displaced children get back to school. The challenge was illustrated by the woman seated beside him in Jordan, the unofficial population count is now almost 10% Syrian refugees. We will leave refugees to languish in camps, or will we leave refugees to languish in camps and slums, said Queen Rayana, who co-chaired one discussion sessions with Tinkerbell. She said the goodwill presently exhibited by countries is no match for the task. Some conference goers also made inquiries about Canada's private programs for sponsoring refugees. Immigration Minister John, I've been drunk since I was a teenager, and a banker, said at least 13 countries are considering copying what we're doing. Continents away, the sound of explosions echoed the point of that Syria's five-year civil war will produce more casualties. An NBC News crew reported hearing more than 100 thuds, bangs, and blasts around Apello. Estimated 400, has become the focal point of a conflict that has killed an estimated, are you ready for this? That has killed an estimated 470,000 people and sent almost 5 million fleeing abroad. Well, wait a minute, hold the phone here. I thought the UN was set up to make sure that we lived in a peaceful world. Now, how do you go about killing 470,000 people without the other nations rolling in there and putting a stop to it? Could they be lying to us? Is it possible that the United Nations is not about peacekeeping? How, if all the nations are members of the United Nations, is it possible to even get a war off the ground? Maybe they are lying to us. No, we all know they are lying to us. So now we got 470,000 more people killed, 5 million refugees. Things been going on for, what did it say here, 5 years? And there's no peace. How is that possible? It's not possible unless it's planned. And it was planned. We need money. The UN's always looking for money. And they're looking to take down the West. So they need migrants. They don't need any migrants. They need migrants who are anti-Christian. They need migrants. Because Islam did not separate state and church. They are one and the same. So they create an army of migrants. And they pull at the heartstrings of the people. 470,000 dead. 5 million fleeing their country. None of the 190 countries or whatever it is that are members of the United Nations managed to get their act together over 5 years to put a stop to this newest killing field. Now you know that it's satanic because it's amoral. You know it's amoral because no one has ever showed any remorse for the killings. We know it's amoral because it took them the deaths of 200 million people to get the UN into place. So the United Nations, which puts itself up with its little laurel leaf or wreath as a peace entity, which comprises all of the nations, there's been no peace. And yet the United Nations sits on American soil, the last vestige of freedom. It's time for the people. And I'm not just talking about the American people. I'm talking the people of all nations to come to grips with the fraud that we know as the United Nations. These are the most evil people this planet has ever known. No, you won't hear a reporter talking like that. You won't hear a government talking like that. But it's the truth. So let's see what else we got here. Where does this go? Another report. Other reports described an aid convoy being obliterated by missiles. Oh my God, we've got to get those people out of Syria. We've got to get them into some countries. Meanwhile, in Canada, the age of the people seeking food banks is rising. The type of people seeking help from food banks here is not the down and outers. More and more so-called professional people, or people who were professional people who may have lost their jobs, are now seeking help at the food banks. Same thing in America, same thing in Australia, same thing in Britain. Why is that? Well, we need as much poverty as we can possibly get so that they can get people to agree to this global problem of poverty, which the UN has been working on eradicating since basically its beginnings. And the poverty going down, it is going up. Are they just incompetent, or are they just lying to us? Well, they have some of the smartest minds in the world working at the United Nations. So it's not because they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. One of the plans is to kill the middle class. And they're doing a damn good job of it. And people better learn to stand up. The world's wealthiest country has taken in fewer refugees than most Western nations. 10,000 so far. U.S. President, I'm a Muslim, Barack Obama, wants to triple that number. His would-be successor, Hillary Clinton, has called for almost six times more than the present number. However, her opponent savaged the idea Monday. Donald Trump responded to the latest news from a New York bomb plot by turning to the refugee issue. An Afghan-born immigrant was arrested Monday after a firefight with police suspected of planting bombs in New York and New Jersey over the weekend. Trump wants to halt migration from Muslim countries. That includes refugees from Syria. He said the country had shown weakness by letting in thousands of people and vowed to stop it. He likened it to a tumor. This is cancer from within, Trump told Fox News. We can't let any more people come into this country. This is going to be like the Trojan horse. And you know they stay together. They keep plotting. Now, he's absolutely correct on that. Trump appeared to call for racial profiling in that interview, saluting Israel for doing it. Now, see, there is a problem with Mr. Trump. If Mr. Trump is saluting Israel, can you trust Mr. Trump? Not a chance. Why were the two world wars put on the world? The world wars were put here to create two entities. Now, we wouldn't have had the Second World War if the United States had signed on to the League of Nations and Israel would have accepted the land that was offered to it, I believe, in North Africa. So America didn't sign on to the League of Nations, and I thank you for not signing on, because nobody should have signed on to it. So, as Wilson said, President Jesus, did I just instigate the Fed on the American people? Yes, you did, you dipshit. And didn't Wilson run around warning Americans that if they didn't sign on to the League of Nations that there would be shortly another world war, of which there was? So, 200 plus million dead in those two wars, and I don't know how many million since have been slaughtered in order to take down the West. And they're banging on the doors hard now. And we're going to have to put a stop to it. Christopher.
Hey, my friend.
How are you doing, buddy?
Good. I just thought you should know that we're fixing the immigration problem here in Kanakistan.
We don't have an immigration problem. We have a treason problem.
Well, they're apparently they're charging a new tax of 15% for foreign ownership of new homes. So that should fix the problem, shouldn't it?
Say that again. They're going to charge a tax of 15%. Yeah, but that doesn't go
on
for refugees.
New that's foreign ownership of,
yeah,
of
the refugees,
of real estate.
Yeah, foreign ownership. Now, what are what? I mean, you just think that through for a second. What are foreigners doing buying our land?
Well,
you know, in Quebec, I think
they have lots of money.
I think it's still
that we don't got.
I think that still works in Quebec. You can't buy, if you don't live in Quebec, you can't buy land in Quebec. I think that still rides there, because my uncle had had some property along the Ottawa River on the Quebec side, and some friends of theirs from Sarnia, Ontario, wanted to buy some land beside my uncle's camp. They ended up putting the property in my aunt's name, because they weren't allowed to purchase it unless they lived there, right?
And that's within your own country.
Well, yeah, but Quebec's kind of.
So now, how does that work then? When you know we've got the overinflated prices in Vancouver, which is why they allegedly are now imposing this 15% tax.
Well, that's just to
on foreign ownership. But these people don't even live in our country.
No,
they're still allowed to purchase
exactly
the land.
They don't even live here, right? They're just buying it up and driving the price up, so the people are pissed off. So then the government says, "Oh well, seeing as we instigated this thing and we knew exactly what we were doing." Don't forget, in Richmond, British Columbia, which is basically a suburb of Vancouver. I forget what year that was. I think John was still my co-host, so that's some years ago. They actually put a great big stainless steel bust of Stalin with a smaller Mao sitting on his head, as all these Chinese are buying up all the land and the apartments and everything in the Vancouver area. So now the people are pissed off. So what's the government do? Instead of putting a stop to this ownership, they say, "Well, we'll charge a 15% tax."
Yeah.
Well, okay, but the Chinese are still going to keep buying it. And does this help people get affordable housing? No. It gives the government a little bit of tax money, but it certainly doesn't stop the migration from China into the West Coast. So we need to, you know, I'm gonna hork a big noogie or something on the next politician I see, whack right in the forehead, right between the eyes, right, whack, let it dribble down his nose or her nose. No, this is beyond.
Well, yeah, you've got to question it. I mean, the government is so greedy that they do know that the Chinese, they can afford that. They another 15%. Drop in the bucket. I mean, the Chinese that are buying these properties obviously are coming from families with money, because all of our exports are coming from China. So
yep.
China is obviously making a lot of money exporting our resources back to us.
Yep.
And so they, well, might as well buy up the property there too while we're at it. And then, you know, 15%, okay. Doesn't matter. We'll get it back, because we own everything in Canada anyways. And all their resources. So I don't really see where this is gonna go good for us.
I'm kinda with Trump, right? At this stage of the game,
stop that.
We either need to build like the Great Wall of China, which was built not to keep people out or keep them in, but to keep others out. We need to pony up here, the Americans and the Canadians, and we need, whether it's an invisible wall or a real wall, I don't care. But we have got to put the brakes on what's going on here. These are our lands. They don't belong to the Chinese. They don't belong to the Islamic faction. These lands are the lands that our forefathers came to get away from the tyranny. And the tyranny now is much worse than it was when our forefathers left their homelands. I was actually talking to, was it you that told me that you need a permit to use a ladder now?
You have to have, in my trade, you have to have special ladders. They have to be, I believe it's a class one. They have to be yellow coated ladders now that you have to use in order, if you're a contractor.
Yeah, but
and you have to have, there's a new enhanced fall safety arrest card that I'm supposed to get, and I've been doing this for 30 some odd years and I'm not getting one.
So how did you ever go up a ladder without this?
I'm gonna have to get that enhanced card to find out.
Well, see, I went up to get a coffee last night, and we were talking about some stuff, and there was a younger guy came along. He's not that young. He's probably around 30, late 20s, early 30s. But I brought this thing up, and he started working for a roofing outfit, and he said that they had to take an eight-hour course on how to use a ladder and, I guess, the fall arrest, and they have to be certified.
Well, I said, who do you know
that would go up a ladder if they didn't feel safe? Nobody. Okay? And if we can't go up ladders without this certificate.
But the ladder itself has to be a class one.
Well,
you're not allowed to use a regular ladder anymore. It has to be supercharged, made in China, super duper metal aluminum.
Super aluminum, eh? But what I told the kid was, if you give this a little bit of thought, who goes up a ladder they don't feel safe on? An idiot. That's the only way you could describe that guy. Nobody goes. I mean, we're in charge of our safety. Now, if we have to take a course on how to go up a ladder that we've been going up for 30 years, then it only stands to reason that everybody in construction, nothing would have ever got built. Because without that certificate, it only stands to reason, everybody would have went up a ladder and fell off it and killed themselves. So without this permit, everybody would be dead and there would be no buildings. This is how ludicrous.
That's why we need our government.
So I said, all these guys are doing is creating for jobs for people who don't work, right? So they can come along and say, this is how you go up a ladder. Now, there's no freaking way that I would ever attend that. Now, if some dickweed come to a job site and says, well, you don't have one of these ladders, and your point is what? What's your point? Well, you have to have one of these ladders. Why is that? Well, for your safety. And who's in charge of my safety again? I am. Not you. Nobody is in charge of my safety but me. And the kid's going, I was talking to him, he goes, I never thought about it that way. Well, this is the problem with Canadians and Americans now. We're so busy bending over. I don't get it. Like, can nobody say, stuff it? Can nobody say, get out of my face?
Well, they got these people called bylaw enforcement officers and safety regulation officers, and they can do damage to your business if you don't comply with them keeping you safe.
If everybody doesn't comply, they can't do any damage to anything.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying.
Well, I get that. I know that.
Like
I'm just trying to have fun with this.
Dinner, we're talking, and, you know, I said, you know, like, don't make no mistakes. Sooner or later, bylaw is going to come along that all the homes on this street have to have a purple door, and all the homes on this house have to have a red door. And they have to have
a purple door. It goes back to when you had Michael Smith on.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a guy that's trying to give you food that will keep you healthy. But the government says, oh, no, we got to radiate it first before you can have it.
Yeah.
Like, and pasteurize it. And, just kill it. And then, you know, that'll keep you safe.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were here.
Then you got Codex Alimentarius, which they're banning all natural herbs. I think in Canada it's like 10,000 now they banned in favor of pharmaceuticals. But it's all to keep you safe, of course.
Get this, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were here for supper tonight, right? So we had a turkey.
So we're sitting there eating, and I said, you
need some gravy on your stuff there, Peter. And he's going, well, no, I don't use gravy. But how can you have a turkey dinner with no gravy?
You can't. It's impossible.
Well, he can because he's become gluten intolerant. Okay? Now, I said, do you ever give any thought what that is? Right? You've become allergic to the poison that they're putting in the bread. Okay? The flour is poison. Now, you consume so much poison that you have become allergic to that poison. And now you can't have bread. Give that some thought. Okay?
Or gravy.
you can't have anything with flour in it. Now, I don't know how I would survive if, you know, it costs them $10 to buy a loaf of gluten-free bread, which is not edible. If you've ever had the experience of chewing down on some gluten-free bread.
Oh, yeah, rice bread. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bought that for my ex-wife. And, it's next to near impossible to eat.
Yeah. And so our foods have been poisoned. And but nobody seems to want to accept that. You know, the food's poison. Deal with it. You know, you put poison in, you're going to have some kind of a nasty reaction at some point. You know, I said, how many people were gluten intolerant when we were young? Never heard of it. And now it's an exponential growth system. Where now we have all of these, like you said, they're getting rid of the natural herbs, and now we have a whole industry on gluten-free. Now, you know, they write articles about it. They come up with new gluten-free foods, which just tastes like bad news. And nobody ever asked, like, why are we gluten intolerant? Simple. You've been poisoned.
I never heard of that, you know. I don't want to sound like an old person here.
Well, you are.
But I never heard of such a thing 20 years ago.
No, ever. Right? You know, so.
And I only had one kid in my whole school that had what they would call somebody with Down syndrome. And he didn't necessarily have Down syndrome. He was just a little bit slower than the rest of us.
Yeah,
but we called him retarded. But you're not allowed to say that anymore. So.
No, but, you know, he may have been naturally Down syndromed, or you were still getting a few in a school
of 300.
Well, yeah, that could have been the one-off vaccination that went wrong. But now, I mean, at the rate we're going, pretty soon, not to be screwed up in school will be looked upon as abnormal. You know, because the rate of
if you don't have autism now, you're abnormal, aren't you?
Huh? What's that?
I said, I think if you don't have autism now, you're considered abnormal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things are messed up. So, we got to deal with the reality that's coming at us, and we have got to start pushing hard at this backwards. What are we just going to do? Roll over? You know, that would just freak me out that we're just going to roll over. You know,
like, well,
my sister-in-law's kind of getting it, right? You know, I said, when they come, and they will eventually tell you, you have to paint your door a certain color on this street, and that street's a different color. And then people will go, and they will paint their frickin' doors. Now, are we gone stupid or what?
Well, I already bought purple paint.
Well, you'll start a trend. You know, but what you want to do with some fun, you got some purple paint, you want to go to your local council, and you want to say that, you believe that the homes on the streets, all the front doors should be the same color. And I would like my street to have purple front doors, and have somebody else with you and say, and I agree. And on our street, we asked the people, and they came to a consensus that we on our street would like blue doors, and we would like the council to look into passing a bylaw to that effect, and have some fun with it, because probably the council's going, well, that's great because we're already working on it. this is how far gone this is. You know, I mean,
I don't know. They allot you like 3 minutes to talk. They'd probably give you a full five if you were to discuss that. They'd probably extend you by 2 minutes.
If you go as a delegation, then you get 5 minutes. Some places still give you 10. But this is what I'm saying. People need to go to the councils and come up with ludicrous stuff.
I know. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get in their face.
Thread I'm going on.
You got to turn this into a circus.
It is already.
Well,
we need to turn it into one.
Dangerous circus right now.
Yes, sir.
I saw this Aga Khan got some kind of. Where did I see that? I saw that over here in the Toronto news. Trudeau here denounces politics of fear. Justin Trudeau warned against politicians who exploit people's anxieties in his first speech to the United Nations General Assembly. The Prime Minister says leaders must choose diversity over division. Now, you know that's Tinkerbell speaking, because what is the diversity doing? It's dividing the people. But he wouldn't get that, right? He has no clue what's even coming out of his mouth. Now, here's another story that we better get looking at. UN to debate the apocalyptic scenario of drug-resistant illnesses, of which they're working on. And here's some good news. Desmond Tutu is hospitalized in South Africa with an infection. Well, you can't get off the planet too soon, my friend. And the Aga Khan wins Global Citizenship Prize at 6 degrees. Now, if you look into the Aga Khan... this guy has been around for frickin' ever. Look at who we got here. We got Adrienne Clarkson beside him. And she's our little Chinese wench, who just happened to have been our governor general. The Aga Khan, spiritual leader is of Ismaili Muslims worldwide and renowned for his leadership of a global network of organizations working in education and development, will be presented with the first annual Adrian, I'm a Treasonous Bitch Clarkson Prize for Global Citizenship on Wednesday in Toronto. Clarkson, Canada's former governor general, said that when picking a recipient for new award in her name, she was looking for an international figure who models the qualities of a good citizen and who makes lives of others better. In an interview with the Star, she highlighted the need to welcome newcomers from other countries, with the displacement and resettlement of millions now a pressing issue around the world. Basically, we have a situation in the world now where we are seeing movement, and we have to take the traits of good citizenship wherever we go. She noted that the Islami Muslims have their own experience of displacements. Many were expelled from East Africa in the early 70s. The Aga Khan has taught all people of Islami belief that wherever you go, you become a citizen of that country. Not only do you belong to your own group, but you reach out to a new society in which you are found. That approach, Clarkson said, is the basis of Canadian citizenships and can serve as an example for people around the globe. She praised the particular work of the Aga Khan in the area of education, yada, 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 it goes on. The Aga Khan Museum, oh, get this, the Aga Khan chairs the Aga Khan Development Network, a group of organizations that do a range of development work in more than two dozen countries around the world, and it has a staff of more than 80,000 people. Okay, this is just another arm of the United Nations. The Aga Khan Museum opened in Toronto 2 years ago with a mission to promote an understanding and contribution of contributions made by Muslim societies and to encourage tolerance. Now, my understanding is this museum is tax exempt. You're paying property taxes. Everybody's paying property taxes. But I believe the story I read was that particular museum, because of all the good work they did, is tax exempt, that they don't pay property taxes, or they had them lowered to the point where they really don't come to anything. The winner of the international award was chosen by Clarkson and the board of the Institute for Canadian Citizenship, of which she, of course, is a co-founder, the charity presenting Toronto's 6-degree Citizen Space series, where this is the closing event. After he receives his award, a medal designated by Ottawa-based sculptor Anna Williams at the ceremony at the Royal Conservatory Hall on Wednesday evening, the Aga Khan will join Clarkson to discuss global issues in front of the crowd. Rufus Wainwright is slated to perform the event. And this will all be about a little huggy thing. How about how
well you should elaborate a little bit more on Adrienne Clarkson. She wasn't only a big powerful person within our government, she was also a host on CBC News.
Yeah.
So she had the best of both worlds.
Well, she was a plant, right?
And most journalists, well, you know, if you want to call them journalists, they seem to get prominent positions within the government after they served their
how many of these talking heads newscasters are in the Senate? You know, you do your job, which is to lie to the people in the media, which is a prerequisite for getting into the Senate, because if you ain't a liar, you ain't going nowhere in politics, and being a liar, Senate.
I'm changing trades. I'm going to become a journalist. The hell with it. You know, at least I know I'll have a pension, maybe. Because being who I am and trying to just be a man that works the land in this country, I'm pretty much going to end up with nothing at the end of it all. But if I become a journalist and I can tell stories, then I can get a position in government. And as soon as you get a position in government, you're set for life. Boom.
Was offered a position in government, and I turned it down.
Well, take it. Take it now.
No, I don't. I know. No. No. I was told I had a fantastic, is what he called it, future in politics, if I want it. And I still can't lie to people while I'm smiling at them and shaking their hands. And if I ever do get there, shoot me. Because that is exactly the opposite of my job. And this is not a well-paying job, by the way.
What? What do you mean?
No.
Oh, you're flush with funds, aren't you?
Right. Let's see. Let me think. Let me look at the definition of broke. Rolling in cash Oh, I am flesh.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't realize that what broke meant. I can't believe it. No, I'm pretty well and have been ever since I got into this. It's been a downhill slide financially. But
yeah, they don't seem to do you any favors when you're trying to speak truth. You seem to get punished more for doing that.
Well, yeah.
And it takes real men like yourself to carry on doing it, knowing that it is definitely not going to make you rich. And I've got friends that like to listen to your show, but not interested in going there.
Well, you know,
they like to get money, and the only way to do that is to lie and smile as you kill, and just like John Lennon wrote it.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, over on Facebook, you know, my Jewish Facebook, my CIA Jewish Facebook.
Well, that's your gig. You want to
well,
do it.
Well, you know, it gets the word out a little bit.
It does.
But no, I use this as also a feeler, right? To see if people are starting to get anything now. And I got to thank the media, and I got to thank Trudeau, and I got to thank the UN, because this thing of him at the UN, when people are becoming poorer in this nation, and he doesn't say shit about anybody in this nation, it's just about migrants and that, the pissed off a meter is really starting to go off the scale. And that's good news. That's really good news, because that forces people to take a serious look at what the hell is going on here. And, you know, so, you know, we work as hard as we can to wake people up, but these clowns are pushing so hard now that people are having to ask some extremely serious questions now. These are not things that they can look away from now. This is in their face. This is an absolute threat to them. And so, yeah, I'm quite pleased about what's going on right at the minute. Because we need to rally the people. And it was very difficult years ago, because people didn't see anything too negative that they couldn't, you know, turn their eyes away from. And now what they see is that their entire lives are being threatened, their neighborhoods are being threatened, their nation is being threatened from all areas, and it's all being done by these so-called elected officials in connection with these not elected officials. So in that sense, it's these are good stories. These are the things we tried to warn people about years and years and years ago, that this was coming. Nobody wanted to listen. Well, now it's front page. And people are going, what the hell is going on here? Now we're getting a lot more people listening. We're getting a lot more people coming to the blogs and the websites and the Facebooks, looking for what the hell's going on. So it's all good, but we're out of time by the look of this thing. We're going to hit the damn music here real quick. So, Chris, don't fall off your ladder. Thanks for calling in. And Thursday night, right here on Spike. Pearl. Take care, everybody. Thank you, Chris. Thanks, listeners. Thanks for the chat. And we have a great evening.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime. Right. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for them more. They shoot, they kill.